my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. You can hear us here, of course, on iTunes or on Stitcher.com, or of course, the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. And I'm going to apologize first and foremost for this episode dropping a little later than usual. I wanted to include Extreme Rules in the show. Obviously, it was a big deal happening Sunday night on the WWE Network out of the Allstate Arena in Chicago. And because of, I don't want to give you a long backstory, but I work extremely early in the morning. I have to be at work at 2 a.m. So I don't always get to stay up and watch all of the WWE pay-per-view in its entirety. So my plan was to get up or get home from work and watch the rest of the pay-per-view on Monday afternoon, record a podcast, and then share it with everybody. And I got through all but three matches Sunday night, and unfortunately, when I went to get onto the WWE Network via the Xbox, like I was watching it Sunday night, I couldn't get on. There's some sort of error going on. I tried on my phone. I tried on my iPad. My iPad apparently needs to be updated, so it's sitting here doing that right now, and I thought, I'm wasting time here. I even tried watching it on the desktop computer, and again, to no avail. So, long story short, I went through, and I know what happened, so, and basically, I'm not going to sit here and give you play-by-play. You've all watched the pay-per-view, probably, and know what happened. I'm just giving you my opinion, my 1-2-3 cents, if you will, on the things that happen and what I think may or may not happen next in terms of a fan's perspective. So we'll get to that in just a second. Just want to touch on a couple of other quick notes. First of all, another apology here. I feel like I'm running a bunch of retractions here. The voiceover guy for this new open that you just heard, it started in episode 21 last week, and this week again on episode 22, and thanks for listening, by the way. Rob Kugler, I mispronounced his name inadvertently, and I do apologize for that. So Rob, thank you for your work with helping to put together the new open, along with Greg Mahochko, the I guess I call him the CEO, the president, the head man in charge over at Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. So, Greg, thanks again for all your hard work and for getting this podcast online. I want to invite you to also check out episode 21 of the podcast. Last week's show was able to sit down with beautiful Bobby Eaton, of course, of the Midnight Express fame, the Dangerous Alliance, and a former WCW World Tag Team Champion, U.S. Tag Team Champion, as well as WCW Television Champion. A great guy. Met him in person, did that interview face-to-face. I want you to go back if you have a 10, 15 minutes, that's really how long the show is from last week, and check that out. I do encourage you to do that because Bobby Eaton, one of the most underrated guys in the history of the business, in my opinion, and a really nice guy as well. A couple new sponsors on My 1-2-3 Cents as well, DraftKings. You can go on to the my123cents.com website and click on sponsors. You can check out DraftKings and sign up and get your own team going there, whether it's baseball or MMA, football, hockey, basketball. I think they cover just about every sport over there. So head on over to my123cents.com and click on sponsors. And you'll also see the Amazon link there. You shop Amazon like you normally would. Just click on it through my link. And I would appreciate you doing that. So, again, some easy ways to help out my123cents.com And without any further ado, let's talk a little bit about Extreme Rules. Now, the show opened not with the tag team title match, which was originally scheduled, but instead Neville, battling Bad News Barrett. Now, this was supposed to be Barrett versus Daniel Bryan for the Intercontinental title. Bryan, of course, pulled from the show. He is still going through some injuries, something's going on, and I don't know what the future holds for him, but, you know, first and foremost, his health is the most important thing, so I hope that whatever the issues are, they are resolved, and he is able to continue with his career and continue defending the Intercontinental Championship. Something tells me, though, that that's not going to be the case, and, you know, whatever is best for Daniel Bryan's health needs to come first, then worry about what's best for business, but I do hope that he is on the road to recovery. But Adrian Neville, impressive. I'm sorry, Neville, I keep calling him Adrian from his NXT days. Everybody knows my admiration for Neville. He is a great competitor already, in my opinion. And beating Bad News Barrett, to me, signifies perhaps bigger and better things down the road. I've been cautiously optimistic about WWE Creative using Neville correctly, the fans, you know, embracing him, and that's going to be the key, is getting that fan support. And I, from what I saw on social media and from what I heard from that crowd in Chicago, it seems like folks are on board. I did tune into this match toward the end because I didn't get the network fired up quickly enough for the pay-per-view, for the pre-show on Sunday night. But again, Neville over Wade Barrett, Bad News Barrett. Good news for Neville, of course. We'll see where it takes him, whether it's to an Intercontinental Championship match against Daniel Bryan. That would be a great passing of the torch, so to speak, and Bryan can get better and get back in the ring, hopefully, if that's what is in the cards for him. Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper in a Chicago street fight. This match, I'm not a big fan of the extreme over-violence, overbooked kind of matches. I did like ECW in its day. It had its place at that time. I'm not crazy about guys getting beat with kendo sticks and chairs and, you know, whatever else people can get their hands on in terms of using as weapons, but I get that, that there is an appetite for that out there. I'm not a huge fan of it. This match, though, I didn't hate it by any means. I liked the fact that they took off in the SUV, and it kind of added that element of when are they going to come back, because you knew eventually they were going to come back and what was going to happen. And I really am a huge fan of Dean Ambrose. You know, when he was with the Shield, I liked him, but branching out on his own, I really like the character and the way he has developed, and of course he has a great skill set in the ring. Luke Harper, on the other hand, I kind of almost wish that they would have kept he and Eric Rowan together for a little longer, at least to help out with the tag team division, and I'll get to that, more on that in just a few minutes. Dolph Ziggler and Sheamus battling it out in a Kiss My Arse match. I really thought Ziggler was going to lose this match. I'm glad that he won. There are rumblings and rumors online. I guess he maybe have dropped a hint on social media that he may be, his days with WWE may be numbered. I don't know if that's the case or not. I certainly hope not. I think Dolph Ziggler, again, is one of the, you know, in his own right, one of the most underrated performers right now in WWE. And I really do hope that they utilize him and put him, you know, up the ladder, if you will. There are so many guys with missed opportunities, and I do feel like there's a lot of guys that are on top and kind of stay on top and hold on to that spotlight for a lot longer. And you know, to me, Dolph Ziggler is one of those guys who shines and, you know, deserves a little more recognition for it. Sheamus, of course, with the low blow, and Ziggler ends up with almost a stink face, or, you know, having to kiss Sheamus's arse instead, which I suspected that was going to happen if Ziggler didn't win. I couldn't see Sheamus actually bowing down and doing the deed. So the New Day defeating Tyson Kidd and Cesaro for the tag team championships. This one was another surprise
I'd almost call it an upset. I didn't really know what direction New Day was going to go. It seems as if they've embraced the heel turn. I don't know if this means that Kid and Cesaro are now faces. I really like Kid and Cesaro as the tag team champions. I don't mind New Day. It's going to be interesting to see where they take this trio next, though. I really think WWE needs someone focusing and helping to develop the tag team division. Putting the titles on New Day may be a step in the right direction. I don't know. I thought that Kid and Cesaro should have had a longer run as the champions, and perhaps there's a rematch in the future and they get back into the hunt. And that's where also I'll get back to Harper and Rowan being in that tag team division, because really now with the Usos out, the tag team division is lackluster, and it has been for quite some time. Kid and Cesaro were pumping new life into it, and I hope that this doesn't lead to them splitting, whether they just split them and put them separately again or split them and have them feud. I don't really see that happening right now, at least, but you know, there's been hints of dissension between Kid and Natalya. I like these three together, and I really hope that they continue to develop and help make the tag team division become more robust, because Jey Uso, I believe, is out for about 6 months with that shoulder injury, so time will tell what happens there. As the New Day was celebrating their tag team championship victory, Ambrose and Harper return, and I thought they might have carried that out throughout the night of them coming and going, but they had them finish it out in the ring with Ambrose winning over Luke Harper. I thought that was the right call, and I really do hope that there are some title matches, whether it's the Intercontinental or the U.S. or even the World Heavyweight Championship, in Ambrose's future here over the next few months in WWE, because he certainly is one of those guys that I think could climb up that ladder and really hold on to a spot. You know, there are guys that are given that opportunity and then it's kind of yanked back away from them. Ambrose kind of falls into that category as well. I think that he does bring something to the table that some of these other guys on the roster don't bring. Just that spontaneity, that hint of, you know, I hate the phrase lunatic fringe, but that works for him. I like where they're going with him, and I like how he has developed that character. A lot of people, I think, thought he was going to fall by the wayside when the Shield broke up, but he really has an opportunity to continue to shine, and I hope that the WWE stands behind him and a lot of the new talent or newer talent that's on the roster. Nikki Bella defeats Naomi in the Divas Championship match. Naomi comes out with a new attitude, a new look, a new theme song. The Funkadactyls, now, I guess, officially extinct in terms of any remnants left over from the Brodus Clay days when the Funkadactyls were there. And I liked the theme song, quite honestly, but I understand the need to develop and evolve characters, Divas included. And I thought with the new look and the new attitude that Naomi may have won the championship. In my prediction blog over at my123cents.com, I did not think that was going to happen, but again, I didn't expect the new look and the new song and whatnot. So Nikki Bella is setting herself up for another diva down the road. I don't know who that's going to be. Paige, of course, is still, I would imagine, still in the hunt. I like Charlotte from NXT. Would love to see her come up and maybe challenge for the Divas Championship. And just, you know, like the tag team division, I think the Divas need a little love as well, in terms of not just being there as eye candy, where a lot of, I think, WWE creative relies on that. And these women, a lot of them, most of them, are great workers in the ring, and they need to have some time to shine and develop, and they've been getting better at it. Now with the absence of AJ Lee retiring after WrestleMania, there's certainly some room on the roster, and that kind of actually leads me into the John Cena and Rusev Russian chain match. Rusev, I thought for a minute there when he had Cena in the Acolyte, I thought that he might have a chance when Cena bumped him into the corner a couple of times, not knowing it, I thought maybe they're going to go back with Rusev winning, but they're hinting that, again, that breakup, that split between Lana and Rusev, which I think they are a great couple. It makes sense having these two together, breaking them up. I don't know what you do with Lana unless she is looking to start a career as a diva in the ring and wrestling, which I had read and heard before that she was training to get into the ring and wrestle. So perhaps that is what is down the road for her, a singles career. Rusev, I don't know what's next for him. I thought I had read some rumblings that he and Cena are already booked for the next pay-per-view. I don't know if that is 100% confirmed yet. But he can lose to Cena only so many times before fans are going to get tired of him. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. I wouldn't mind seeing them pair him up with another manager type, a mouthpiece. And it would be somebody that you bring in to fill that role. So that's another area I feel like is lacking is the use of good managers. Paul Heyman, of course, Brock Lesnar's advocate, but with Brock off, we haven't seen Paul in a while. And I don't know what happened to Zeb Coulter with Jack Swagger, but I miss that managerial element as well in the world of professional wrestling. Not just WWE, but wrestling in general. Roman Reigns over the Big Show, using the table that had been knocked over to pin Big Show down onto the outside on the arena floor. Of course, this was a last man standing match, so Big Show loses there. Roman Reigns goes over, and you know, what's next for him? I don't know. It'll be curious to see if they put him back into the world title hunt. I like Roman Reigns. I am not going to lie. I do think there are other guys, though, who are, you know, just as worthy and probably a little more prepared for that main event picture. Reigns, though, is coming around. Fans, I think, like to, you know, boo and hate on him. And I think he was, at the beginning of the year, kind of became a victim of circumstances with winning the Royal Rumble that so many people thought Daniel Bryan was going to win. And fans naturally turned on him. And I don't necessarily think it would be a bad thing if WWE, you know, came full circle and let him evolve into that heel character and redevelop, kind of like how The Rock did as Rocky Maivia. We've seen others who have evolved. Randy Orton, I believe, you know, came in as a young babyface who turned heel. But let's see how things go. It's an organic transition. Let the fans not completely dictate what happens, but they are the ones, we are the ones, after all, who are paying for the network and paying for the t-shirts and the opportunity to watch wrestling live in the arenas. So we'll see where that one ends up going. Ryback squashes Bo Dallas. Ryback is an interesting character. You know, when he was Skip Sheffield, and I've blogged about this again over at my123cents.com, was not a fan of the Skip Sheffield character. The Ryback character, I don't dislike him. I'm indifferent, impartial. But I wish they would figure out what they want to do with the guy. They flirted with him being a world heavyweight title contender when he wrestled CM Punk and got into that feud with The Shield. I thought things were going someplace with him. They turned him heel. He beat up on John Cena. Then that didn't last very long. They paired him up with Paul Heyman there for a little bit, and then teamed him up with Curtis Axel, Ryback, which was a tag team I didn't mind at all. I thought that they actually gelled quite nicely and had some chemistry going. And then they brought him back in as Ryback and the Feed Me More gimmick. So do something with the guy, or, you know, that's part of the problem, I think, with WWE right now, is we get, as fans, we get behind someone and they kind of get pushed to the moon for, you know, a month or two, and then they're pulling back. We push them a little bit and then they get pulled back. And then we stop caring as fans. The WWE universe stops caring. I don't want to see that happen over and over and over again. So, you know, with Ryback, let's make a move. Let's do something with him. And I've read rumblings and heard rumors about who his next opponent or rivalry feud may be. You know, I don't want to be the spoiler alert guy here, so I'm not going to go into those details. But it'll be an interesting dynamic to see what is next. And that's no pun intended with the whole Goldberg thing with who's next. But, you know, do something with Ryback if you're going to do it. Otherwise, let's move on from the Ryback project. Seth Rollins beating Randy Orton inside a steel cage. Kane, you know, kind of attacking both men. Rollins using Orton's own move, the RKO, to knock him out and then escape the cage. The right call, in my opinion. Rollins needs a good, healthy run as the World Heavyweight Champion. WWE, we as fans need that. We need someone new in that title picture, in that spotlight. Rollins has proved that he's got the work in the ring. I really like who he has become as a character. He has developed. He's got the in-ring skills. He's got the look. You know, I do think that there are even bigger and better things down the road for Seth Rollins, but right now, I'm enjoying him as the WWE Heavyweight Champion. And again, there are so many guys who Rollins can have great matches with, whether it's Dean Ambrose, whether it is Seth Rollins, whether it is Dolph Ziggler, Neville. You know, there are so many competitors right now that we haven't seen in that title hunt before, or, you know, prominently displayed on a WWE show. So lots of great things. I think, you know, Extreme Rules, if I were going to give it a letter grade, I would probably give it a C plus or maybe a B minus. And I know I gave WrestleMania, I think, a B or a B minus. This was, again, I'm not a huge fan of the different specialty matches, the extreme stuff. But I didn't hate this show. There are things that could be done better, but you know what? I'm playing Monday afternoon Booker here, and that's not fair to WWE. That's not fair to creative. That's not fair to the fans. So just kind of sharing some opinions and some thoughts, and really want to get more interactive with you, the listener. So reach out to me on Twitter. It's at my123cents, or my name is Kevin Huntsperger, at Kevin Huntsperger on Twitter. I'm all over Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, so just find me. Let's chat, let's talk. I'm also trying Periscope out, so I'm having a lot of fun with that. That's a Twitter application, so look on Periscope and find me out there as well. But, you know, I look forward to the next pay-per-view. And if you are a fan who wants to hear other wrestlers, interviews with wrestlers, as I mentioned, beautiful Bobby Eaton has been on the show. Sheamus was on the show briefly in episode, I should probably know this. I think it was episode 8, actually. I think it was, now that I think about it. Gentleman Jervis Cottonbelly, Nigel McGuinness. So I'm looking to get more wrestlers on the show, more talent, more men and women who are involved in the world or have been involved in the world of professional wrestling. So hit me up. I want to hear from you and make this user-friendly as well. As always, thanks for listening, thanks for reading, thanks for watching My 123 Cents.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.